Okay, to finish up with the mitzvahs of Kibud Av V'Em and to go into the next dinim. The last thing over here is that if somebody, if somebody really wants to honor their parents, you should learn Torah, be a good person, a mensch, normal, decent, that people should say, look how great these parents are that they raised such a child, rather than people saying, oh, look at the parents that raised their child. So that's part of the mitzvah, Kibud Av V'Em. Also, a person who converts, again, even though halachically they're not his parents, they're his biological parents, but they're not his parents, nevertheless, he still has an obligation to honor them. He's not allowed to curse them, he's not allowed to be disrespectful to them, because people shouldn't say, look at this, he became a Jew, he disrespects his parents. So that's halachically forbidden. But it's interesting, certain aspects of halacha, even though the ger is not halachically the children of his parents, the biological parents, but it still has, in certain dinim, it has an effect, like the yichud and things like that. There would be a difference if somebody is a biological parent or not, and so on. Because he's like a newborn baby. If he's a newborn baby, he has no connection to them whatsoever. In other words, let me explain something. Halacha says like this. Technically, sounds funny. If a brother and a sister, both goyim, and both convert, halachically, technically, they would be allowed to marry each other. They're not related. Halacha says no. Why? Not because it's halacha. People shouldn't say, look at this. As goyim, you couldn't marry them. Now as Jews, you could marry them. It doesn't look right. You can even more, halacha says, if a mother and a son convert, halachically, he's allowed to marry her. For the same reason, they're not related. But again, halacha says, you're not allowed to. But as far as relationships, it's not a relationship. But nevertheless, they have to be respectful. The people shouldn't say, look at this, he, you know, became a guy. Okay, next.
It seems like there's no obligation to respect them. It's only by assignment.
He's not allowed to curse him. He's not allowed to treat them disrespectfully. He should treat them it says a mixus covered.
What about respect?
Yes, to treat them with respect. People shouldn't say, look at this, the kid became Jewish.
But there's no obligation to respect them. It's just not inside my assignment.
Correct. And in that way, in this week's parsha, it says Avram Avinu left before Terach died. First it says Terach died, and then it says Avram left. Even though Rashi says, really, Avram left before Terach died. But then it wouldn't look good. The guy left his old father, you know, this Jew left his old father, and he left him. So the Torah says he died, and then it says Avram left. But there is a respect that has to be done. Okay, next is the dinim of Kved Rabbi, respect for a teacher and an older person, a scholar, a kohen, all these people that need to be respected. So it says in Halacha that the respect of a teacher, of a Rebbe, I'm talking about Torah teacher, is more than the respect of the parents. Why? So the Gemara says, Shulchan Aruch brings down, the parents bring you into this world. The Rebbe brings you into Olam Haba. Therefore, it says if your father also teaches you Torah, so then the father comes first because he has both things. He brings you into this world and into the next world. Okay, next. It says in the Pasuk like this, Mipnei Seva Tokum, you should stand up for an old person, V'adarta Pnei Zokin, and you should give reverence to also Zokin, which seemingly means the same thing. So the Gemara says, no. If Nei Seva Tokum is a simple meaning for an old person, you have to show respect. To stand up when they walk in. Adarta Pnei Zokim refers to a Talmud Chochem, Zeshukana Chochma, which means even if the scholar is younger than you, you still have an obligation to respect him, not because he's age-wise, but because of his knowledge. And, okay, now, the same thing. If there's a well-known Talmud Chacham in the world, even though you never learned from him anything, but nevertheless, because he's respected, nationally or internationally, you have a halacha obligation to stand up, even if he's not old in years, even if he's not your Rebbe. The same thing is, you have to stand up for a seva. Now, how old is seva? Halacha says 70. So somebody's 70 years old, some people, you have to stand up for him, even if he's an illiterate, as long as he's not a Rasha. If he's a wicked person, then you don't give him any respect. Oh, so it says, I'm just coming to that din in Kitzer, it says in Shulchan Aruch, that even an old non-Jew, Mahadr Nesi Bidvarim, you respect him with words, and you help him, like if he needs help to walk, to get up, you do it. The Gemara says, in Brachas, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was once asked, he lived 120 years. So they asked him, what merits did you have that you lived so long, 120 years? And one of the things he mentioned is, there was never a person in the street that greeted him first, afilo akum shibashum, even the goy. You know, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai respected every human being. You could think about their creation of Hashem. Their creation of Hashem. So you have to respect older people. I mean, it's contrary to the youth, the modern day belief that the old people belong in an old age home and get them out of your life and just keep stay with the young guys. The Rebbe spoke many sichas about this. The Rebbe said that later, and nowadays, people don't respect older people. But you have to understand, older people have such life experience that the younger people don't have. But it's life experience. And that, there's a lot to learn from the older people, even though you might be smarter than them and greater than them, but there's certain life experiences that you need to learn from them. Okay, by the way, it says in Halach that even if you, let's say you're in a room, but you see a Talmid Chacham walking by and you see him through the window, walking by, you still have to stand up. If he's riding a horse, let's say, or today would be riding a car. Let's say a Talmid Chacham is in a car driving by and you see him, you have to stand up. Because Reichav Kamahalach Damid Gemara says, riding is like walking. Just like if the scholar would be walking, you'd have to stand up if you see him. So the same thing, even though he's in a car or a horse, whatever it is. So you'd have to respect him. But somebody, let's say, this is a mistake a lot of times people have. If you're holding a Sefer Torah and your Rebbe walks by, you don't stand up for him because you're holding a Sefer Torah. And the Gemara says, look how foolish the people are that for a Sefer Torah, they stand up. And for a scholar who has a Sefer Torah in his head, they don't stand up. But the din is, if you're, this happens a lot of times, like people holding on to a Sefer Torah, but let's say Hagbed, okay? And then everybody rises for a Kelmole or whatever it else there may be. Person holding a Sefer Torah, halachically, is not allowed to get up because that's disrespect to the Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah shouldn't give the, whatever it is, a respect. The person has to give the Talmid Chacham respect.
This is going back to respecting a non-Jew.
Yeah.
And no one acts like Shemite, you still have
to. No, it says if it's a Rashi, you're not allowed to. Oh. Even a Jew, it's a Rashi, you're not allowed to. And by the way, it says that, so what happens, Basho, you learned halachically that if the parents walk into him, you're supposed to stand up. I mean, people don't today because we assume the parents say you don't have to. But what happens if your parents are blind, God forbid, halacha says you still have to stand up for them. An older person that walks into the room, let's say a 90-year-old person walks in and they're blind, you don't have to stand up for them. In other words, it's a very logical difference. Kibud av va em, you have a mitzvah to respect your parents, whether they know about it or not. So even if they're blind, they can't see if you're standing or not, you still have an obligation to stand up. Here, it's respect for them, that they should feel respected. But if they don't see, you know, then it's not, then you don't have, they don't have to get up.
There are some mitzvot that flee. You put the tefillin on. At that time, when you put the tefillin on, you're doing the mitzvah.
Right.
Kibud av va em, somebody, for example, takes care of the expenses of the parents.
No.
Whatever. So So is that mitzvah all the time, or is it that just like tefillin only one time?
No, kibud av v'em is not a mitzvah that's continuous. Like belief in God is 24/7.
Right.
Putting on tefillin, you don't put on tefillin. You put it on once you did the mitzvah. We learned already in the past, it's very interesting why Hashem did it like this. It's his business. But obviously there's a reason for it. It's as follows. There's certain mitzvahs you do daily. Like tefillin. Okay? Certain positive mitzvahs you do once a week. Shabbos, Kiddush, you know, the biblical Kiddush, verbal Kiddush, once a week. Certain mitzvahs you do once a month. Certain mitzvahs you do once a year. Certain mitzvahs you do once every Shemitah. Well, certain mitzvahs you do every Yovel. Okay? Why are certain mitzvahs needed to be done every... I'll give you a simple example, okay? You have to put on tefillin every day. Yet, Mulav and Esek, biblically, you do it on the first day of Yom Tov, it's good for the year. Shaifa, year Shaifa and Rosh Hashanah, it's good for the year. Tefillin, you do it once, it's not good for the year. Every day you have to put tefillin on again. There's certain mitzvahs that you have to bring down that particular kedusha of that mitzvah daily, hourly. You know, learning Torah.
Which one is this one?
Kibud av v'em is not a 24/7 mitzvah, even though when you have the opportunity to do kibud av v'em, you have an obligation to do it.
For example,
that doesn't mean a person should not go to business and spend the whole day with the parents, or he should stay in, instead of learning in yeshiva, he should spend the day with his parents. No, that's not what halacha says.
So I get an apartment for my mother and I pay the expense of every month.
So in a certain respect, you're fulfilling the mitzvah daily. Yep.
So it's 24/7.
No, but I'm saying it's not, you're obligated.
I understand.
That b'chlal, there's certain mitzvahs. For instance, there's a mitzvah called shechita. Yeah? What's the mitzvah of shechita? If I want to eat meat, I need to shech the animal. If I don't want to eat meat, there's no mitzvah. Tefillin I have to put on. Right? Mezuzah. There's no mitzvah you have to have a mezuzah. If I have a house, I need to have a mezuzah. If I want to live in the street, I don't need a mezuzah. I'm not mechuyev to buy a house to be able to put a mezuzah. Biblically, I mean, I don't have to buy a four-cornered garment to wear tzitzis. If I don't want to, biblically, I'm saying, not what the Chacham is saying. There are certain mitzvahs that are you have to do. One of the Tayag mitzvahs is you have to give your wife a get. That's one of the Tayag mitzvahs. Yeah? That doesn't mean it's a mitzvah to divorce. Everybody should divorce their wife to do that mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? God forbid, if you want to break up, so then you have to do it with a get. Kibud av v'em is, in a certain respect, it's continuous whenever the opportunity comes up. It's not one of what's called the Sheish Mitzvahs Tamidius. The Chinuch, in his introduction, right, there's six mitzvahs. He calls them the Shisha Ari Miklat. Sheish Ari Miklat. Amunas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, Avas Hashem. You know, there's a lot of mitzvah constant. Kibud av v'em is not a constant mirror, a mitzvah. When you have the opportunity, then you have an obligation to do it. Yeah. For a male, a Jew has an obligation to learn Torah 24/7, 365 days of the year, for 120 years. There's a continuous obligation. The Torah frees you to eat, to sleep, to business, to be healthy. But technically, the Talmud Torah is 24/7. What?
So that Rav's example, you wouldn't want to do the mitzvah and pay the rent every day.
No.
More than once a month.
First of all, I don't want to get into the legal aspect, that you ask the real estate people. When I pay rent at the end of the month, is that really I'm paying daily, except they just collected the end of the month? Or is I'm only paying monthly? If I rent a place for a month, yeah, and then after 15 days I decide to move out, I still have to, halachically and legally, have to still pay the rent to the end of the month. Yeah? Why? But you're still paying daily, but you're just paying at the end of the month. But because I rented it for the month, I have to pay every day, but I'm not paying daily. I'm paying monthly, but I'm really paying every day. If I'm not paying every day, if I'm not there, I don't have to pay.